Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Sanofi, we had the pleasure of speaking with Robert Z. Orlovsky, MD, PhD, about the Phase 3 IMROZ trial investigating bortezomib, lenalidomide, and dexamethasone, or BRD, versus isatuximab plus BRD in patients with newly diagnosed transplant-ineligible multiple myeloma. Dr. Orlovsky holds the Florence Maud Thomas Cancer Research Professorship in the Department of Lymphoma and Myeloma, is the director of the Section of Myeloma, and is a professor in the Department of Experimental Therapeutics in the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Orlovsky discussed key efficacy data from IMROZ, the quality of life impact of ESA-VRD, and how the findings from this trial may pave the way for additional research with quadruplet regimens in the transplant-ineligible multiple myeloma setting. Can you briefly describe the rationale and design of the IMROZ trial?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to review that. The IMROZ study was the first reported trial looking at transplant-ineligible newly diagnosed patients who were randomized to receive either VRD, which is bortezomib, len, and dex, one of our current standards of care, and the anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody isatuximab with VRD in the experimental arm. So essentially the question was, is a quadruplet or a triplet the better approach in the setting? The rationale is that CD38 antibodies have multiple mechanisms of anti-myeloma benefit, and they have shown improved outcomes when added to some of our standard regimens. Also, there was an early phase 1 study that showed safety and efficacy of this combination, and therefore a strong rationale to think that the quadruplet would be superior to the triplet.
How did this trial define transplant ineligibility?
A great question. These were patients that were transplant ineligible based on either having comorbid medical conditions that would have precluded them from getting transplant, or patients that, for example, in Europe were 70 years of age or older.
And so then, what were some of the key efficacy findings from IMROZ that were presented at ASCO?
The main findings could be summarized by saying, first, there was a superior progression-free survival for patients who got the quadruplet, with a 40% reduction in the risk of progression or death from the quadruplet versus the triplet. There was a better overall and complete response rate. And I think to me, what was most exciting is that the sustained MRD negative rate over a 12-month period, which was about 24-25% for VRD, was nearly double in the ESA VRD arm at about 48-50%. And we now know that MRD is an accepted endpoint for trials. And we know, of course, that MRD negative patients are the ones that are going to have the longest duration of benefit from their therapy.
What were some of the main safety findings from IMROZ that are important to note?
It's important to remember that the side effects and toxicities from the quadruplet versus the triplet were consistent with what we know about these drugs from other trials. In particular, the group that got the quadruplet had a slightly higher rate of neutropenia and also a higher rate of infectious complications. We do need to monitor these patients for a variety of infections. In fact, there were more COVID infections, for example, among the quadruplet arm versus the triplet arm. That in part was based on also when the study was performed, And hopefully now that the COVID pandemic is a little bit less of a concern and the patients now have vaccines available, that rate would be lower.
How did treatment with ESA-VRD affect patient quality of life?
Also an important question. We often worry that if we add an additional drug, like comparing 4 versus 3 or 3 versus 2, that the more complex regimen with more drugs will result in more side effects that will compromise the patient's quality of life. This was addressed in this study using very well-known, validated myeloma-specific tools, and there was actually no difference in the patient-reported outcomes between the quadruplet and the triplet, which should give practitioners a measure of safety and hopefully allay any concerns that the quadruplet will cause a loss in quality of life. In fact, it does not, and the quadruplet is just as good as the triplet in maintaining patient-reported outcomes.
You know, just going forward, what are some of the potential clinical implications of the IMROS findings?
I would say first, there were some limitations of the study. The study allowed patients up to the 80 year of age to enroll, but 81 and over, those patients were excluded. So we do need more data there. Also, because there was a large involvement of European sites, we did not have as many African-American patients enroll as would have been ideal. So I think we have to be a little bit cautious in conclusions for those populations. But to me, the take-home message is that this quadruplet is superior to the triplet as the first line of therapy for transplant-ineligible patients. You get a longer time in remission, you have a higher rate of MRD negativity, and you do not compromise quality of life. So I think it should definitely be one of the standards of care in this patient setting.
How might the IMROS findings pave the way for additional studies with 4-drug regimens in this patient population?
From my perspective, the implications of this study are that 4-drug regimens can be safely given to transplant-ineligible, newly diagnosed patients. This will be the first one, I think, that hopefully gains a lot of traction in the United States. The previous 4-drug regimen was daratumumab with a VMP from the Alcyone study. VMP is bortezomib, melphalan, and prednisone, and melphalan and prednisone is not a terribly popular combination in the United States. So I definitely think that ESA-VRD is now the standard of care. There probably will be other studies as well with daratumumab along a similar design. And one thing to note is that although the isatuximab was given intravenously in this study, there is ongoing development of what's called an on-body device where the drug could be given subcutaneously. And perhaps in the future, part of the therapy could be given at the patient's home, which would definitely be another plus for these patients because it would reduce potentially the travel time that they have to have back and forth to the center.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Sanofi. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.